Hey there, hi there, it's your good friend Bran. Welcome to the Your Favorite Band Podcast, a podcast where we talk to your favorite bands and help tell their story, help show you how they became who they are today. Your favorite band. Dave's out this week. I did this one solo. Met up with these guys before a show in Asheville, North Carolina. It was a real joy. Excited to play the interview for you. But before we do, a couple of things real quick. You guys know the drill. If you have never reviewed us on the iTunes, even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, the review on iTunes is actually really helpful cross-platforms. So if you could go to iTunes and look up your favorite band, like so many other people have done, give us that five-star rating and tell us how much you just adore us. That'd be wonderful. So go ahead and do that. And also, we want to know who you want for us to interview. We've gotten to the point where we've interviewed so many of our personal favorite bands, which has been so much fun. And we want to continue to reach out to bands that you guys love. So we got a lot of emails about this band in particular that we're going to interview today. And we want to do the same for your favorite band. So email us, yourfavoritebandpodcast@gmail.com. We get a lot of emails from you guys asking for certain bands. We do our best to make those happen. So please, yourfavoritebandpodcast@gmail.com. That'd be wonderful. Hey, let's just get to it. We are so excited today because we have an amazing band on the show today. I'm going to let the guys, I interviewed all of them, all four of them. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to get right to it on the Your Favorite Band Podcast.
I'm Will from Colony House, and I play drums in the band.
I'm Caleb Chapman, and I play guitar and sing in Colony House.
My name is Scott Mills. I play guitar in the band Colony House.
My name is Park Cottrell. I play the bass guitar, the four-string bass guitar, and some keyboards and same background vocals.
Colony House, it's happening right now. Your Favorite Band Podcast. Yes. Will and Caleb Chapman grew up in a musical house, thanks to being the sons of Christian megastar Stephen Curtis Chapman. How did that influence them picking up music for themselves and falling in love with the music they were creating?
It was early on that we picked. I actually started on guitar for like 5 seconds and realized I wanted to hit things. And so that was at age, what, 5 and 6?
Yeah, we got a drum set and a guitar for Christmas.
And I was guitar and Caleb was drums. And it didn't last very long, and then we switched, and then from there on, that's kind of when we knew what our instruments were. And then I feel like we played music our whole lives and did like the classic high school band thing, and started playing for my dad when we were in high school and touring with him full tours. And then it was probably, I feel like, towards the end of high school that me and Caleb were like, okay, we're gonna stick to music, we're not gonna do the college thing. And kind of in those years, it was like figuring out what we wanted to do with that. Was it going to be like a Caleb's thing, a solo thing, and I would just play with him? But then we kind of were like, we always wanted to do a band thing, and then it slowly transitioned into Colony House over those years of figuring out life out of high school. So yeah, it was those were the years though, figuring out kind of.
Yeah, I think we knew probably in high school once our dreams of becoming, you know, professional athletes were, you know, crushed, and we decided that music was in our future for sure. Yeah.
Growing up in the Christian music world, there was tension to create music that kind of went with that, but they ended up doing their own thing with their own different style.
I think naturally there, it maybe not a pool, but like just a kind of naturally the relationships that my dad had, like those were the people that were helping us out at the very beginning. So my dad's managers, my dad's booking agents, even my dad's label had come to us with an offer. And those people are also like family to us. So it was kind of just them talking us through like, okay, we can do this, but I think what ended up happening is everything that we were trying to do, there was always like this headbutt. It was kind of the classic square peg round hole of like, you're really good at this, but it's not, for some reason it's not making sense. So it's almost like we naturally tried, and then we discovered that, you know, playing to 10 people at a club felt more right somehow. and so that's where it started. You know, we just, we actually kind of stripped away the whole team that we were working with as far as like, let's just start from scratch, make some music, put it out and see what people we meet. We met a small kind of junior booking agent who was like, if y'all want to play shows, I can, if you're cool with getting paid a couple $100 a night to play these, you know, bars and clubs around the States, I'll do it if you want it. And we're like, we can get paid to do that. and so we're like, yeah, we're in. $200 a night sounds tight. And our first like headline run was 52 shows in 60 days planned to, and you know, sometimes it was 20 people and then sometimes randomly it would be 200 people. And we were like, I remember we rolled up to Portland for the first time, we're like, no one's going to come to Portland. And it was like, yeah, 300 people or something. We're like, how did this happen? You know, so just this fun kind of, and it continues to be that story of just like feeling like you're crossing your fingers, but knowing, I guess, going back to the, you know, did we feel pulled one way or the other? Like, we feel strongly that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know, at this point. And we have all the support in the world from Dad and all of his team, too. They're awesome.
The Chapman brothers obviously grew up making music together, but there's two other guys in the band. So how did Colony House, as we know them today, come to be?
I met the guys through their cousin, and we started the band probably right about the time they were like deciding to start a band is when I met them, and then we started the band. Yesterday and the day before, we played Knoxville, and we got to go take a little photo by the place that we first met, Park, which was amazing. Park came and opened a show for us in Knoxville. We were kind of like one of these club tours. We were like, we need an opener for Knoxville, and I knew of Park through a friend, and so we asked Park to come play for us. We had a different bass player at the time, and then Park did a whole tour opening for us. And then we needed to fill in at one point for the guy that was playing for us. And then Park came out and played bass. Never left.
House has a unique style and sound to their own, but how did they set on what type of music to make in the very beginning?
And I remember listening to a lot of, I feel like we had a small identity crisis at the very beginning of the band, where we were like, we love like British rock, and we love like all that stuff, and we want to do that. Then we all went, well, except for Park, we all went and saw a Yonsei show in Atlanta. And for like 6 months after that, we like really wanted to do something like that. That guy's like shaking a chain with a suitcase for drums and stuff. Like, anyway, it's just like an awesome. That show is really inspirational. We were like. So we chased that down for a little while, and then we were kind of like, maybe we should just go back to what we were doing before.
Yeah, I remember the first two, like, we were all into a band called Athlete at the very beginning, like a British rock kind of post-Oasis band that kind of was like piggybacking off of their thing. And that was like a big inspiration for us. There was a band called The Boxer Rebellion. Also
still is a band.
Yeah, still a band that very inspired by. But at that point, that was like a huge like discovery and music that opened our eyes to like, oh, we can do something like that would be awesome. It was like a rock and roll band, but played acoustic guitar too. And somehow it still was just like, you know, beautiful and edgy and like tension filled. I don't know. It just was a cool thing for us. And then, yeah, we went to that Yanzi show, and then the National High Violet album came out, and we were like, oh my gosh. So there was like, it was identity crisis, because we were all over the map. We were like, you know. Anyways.
I think that's a normal thing. I feel like for us, it was like, how do we take all this stuff that, you know, as a young band, you're like, that's cool, I'm going to do that. And then a certain amount of years go by, and you're like, how do I borrow all these inspirations to like create something that we do that maybe someone else listens to one day and goes, I'm gonna do something like that. You know what I mean? That makes sense for like what we like and we're inspired by. We're putting our own spin on it. I think it just took us a little bit to get to that point.
When I was younger, everything seemed simple. When I was younger, everything felt right.
Every band has a different way of writing music. Some write music all together in one room, and some write songs individually and bring them together. Colony House does their own thing.
I think what makes kind of our sound, a big part of our sound, is that we are, Caleb is big on, like you said, making sure the song can hold its own on an acoustic guitar and a vocal. But we're a rock band, and so I think it starts there a lot of the times. It starts with Caleb kind of just, you know, brings an idea. And it's evolved a lot since those early days. I think the early days, you know, first record especially, was a lot of lap, a lot more. Here's a song I can play on the guitar, and then we'll get in a room and make it a rock song, or make it a song, you know, more of a band song. And that was a lot. The first record was a lot that way. Second record, I think we got a lot of, we just toured so much on the first record. And so what we were told was, love the record, but the energy live is like next level. And so you guys should really try to capture a lot of that in the next record. So the second record, we kind of went for that more of like, and writing wise, I think we all, a lot of the writing was us all in a room, just like writing together and being like, this is cool, this feels good. And then we would record it that way too. We all got in a room and it's just everybody was tracking it together. A lot of the second record was that way. And I think it's just evolved from that beginning. But I also think most of the times it starts with Caleb having an idea, a rough idea, and then we'll kind of bring it to the table and be like, does this feel right? And then we'll try to like make it feel good. And so, but it's always changing. I feel like sometimes Park has an idea, and Scott has an idea, a guitar riff that's like, oh, that's great, then let's run with that, and then it just kind of becomes a song. So it's always changing, I feel like, but it definitely started in those early days, and it still is to a certain extent. Caleb bringing the idea and kind of run with it, so...
Colony House has been on tour with Need to Breathe and just got done with a tour with Jude and the Lion. So they're playing some pretty big shows. But what was it like to get started scheduling their own tours in small venues?
Dude, I remember I worked at a coffee shop for a while. Stereotypical. But dude, I remember like getting off on the weekends and we'd be like coming out on tour and it'd be like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we'd be back on Monday. And I would be like, dang man, we're only going out for 3 days. And then it would be like, we go out for 7 days, and I'd be like, get a week off work. And then it'd be like, dang man, we're only going out for 7 days. And then sometime in the last few years it turned into, dang man, we're going out for 3 days. That's a lot. But I think it was for the love of the game, dude.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning it was just like, take me out there, put me in that van, and I never want to come home. Like, yeah. And gets a little more complicated as you go through the years, but like I think initially it was just like, man, this is what we've always wanted to do, and we might have a chance to do it. So let's freaking soak it in.
Well, what's funny is, like, we talk like our grinding it out days are over.
Let's get into that, for sure.
Like, it's as hard as it's ever been. The early days are just the naivety of it all is awesome. You ride in a van, all your gear is in the back of the van. You roll up to the venue.
You sleep on the gear.
Yeah, like, it's so easy in hindsight. Like, that was, like, the most minimal thing you could do. You're, like, just hoping that the sound PA works, that kind of thing. Now, you know, you grow and you bring in more people out on the road with you. You had a trailer on, you got more gear. You're trying to build a whole deal, build a great show, but you're also there's financial restrictions, just logistical restrictions of being able to how much gear you can carry. It feels the same as it's always felt.
Yeah,
we're able to play in front of a few more people, which is really cool. You get tours where you're playing with a band like Judah and the Lion, who's packing out rooms, and you get to see, like, people responding, new people responding, and your people coming and responding, and even talking to fans like that have been there since those 20 people a show days, being like, there were, like, last night I was talking to a girl and she was like, they're so cool, people were singing, like, all the people around me singing your songs. And, like, it's been a long time of doing this for that to still, like, it is a really cool thing. And sometimes you forget the gift of like, your music making it to that many people's car stereos or whatever, you know? But I don't know. What our problem has always been is, like, we always want to tour because that feels like what our job is, like. When we're not touring, we get really anxious, like, what are we doing? What's happening? When we are touring, of course, you're missing home and feeling tired, but as soon as you get off the road, we all get anxious, you know? Because it's just, that's what makes us feel. When you're seeing people and responding, the people are responding and you're having those interactions, it's like the measurable. That's like the tangible that any business would talk about. Like, what are tangibles that we can count on and see, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Where all the stuff when you're home and the strategy that your team hopefully is building is like, that's all great. We can't see any of that. We want to go see it, you know? So our current transition and the phase we're at now is figuring out how do we turn that attitude of just tour into, like, tour strategically so that people do want to keep coming and seeing you. You can't go play New York City 7 times a year anymore, you know? It's crazy how it just always flowing.
It is kind of, you know, I feel like some of the sweetness of the early days gets taken away a little bit as you go by too. Cause like Caleb was saying, like, we never have any moments anymore where we pull up to Portland and there's 300 people coming and we didn't know. Like, where you're like, wait, how many people? What are you talking about? You know, now it's like a month away from the tour. We're like, oh, yeah.
We're checking in.
We got 30 pre-sales. We didn't used to know that you could even do that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Like,
that was
a thing. Shoot, it's already sold out or whatever. And it's like, so because you start taking it a little bit more seriously and stuff, you want to check in on stuff like that. And it starts to, like, there's just a little bit of the sweetness that's kind of like, veil is kind of turning back a little bit.
But different types. It's like a relationship. Like,
for sure.
Early days dating, you're just like, want to hold her hand. And that's like the coolest thing in the world. And then holding her hand just becomes part of the deal. You know, like, it's awesome still. But there's other things to other bridges that you want to cross in your relationship. It becomes a lot less about, you know, those just showing up to the venue. You know, it's still cool, still, like, so still learning a ton, and yeah it's awesome.
Thanks to these tours, the band can actually tell how their fan base has grown over the years thanks to being on tour with amazing bands.
we can definitely track it. I mean, you hear all the time things like that. First time I saw you was on the Need to Breathe tour. First time I saw you was on Congo's tour. I mean, that so many things like that for us. I think the, like, yeah, being able to track it is, like, it's been a huge part of our band. Like, because, you know, we've had some cool opportunities playing on TV and had some cool opportunities, like some radio stuff, but nothing insane that would, like, directly correlate to growth in the band. All of it works together, you know, but what has really worked for this band is going out and playing shows, playing the 20 people. Next time, all of them bring a friend, 40 people. Next time, you, like, you see it, like, we played the same rooms over and over and over and over again. Because of that, we're, like, trying to establish ourselves as a touring act, you know, not just waiting on mailbox money. Again, that's just because that's where we feel like we see the music working beyond just a song that feels good to listen to. Like, you see it being a part of people's lives, and I think that's healthy for us. For me, at least, it's, like, the way that it keeps my head in the game of, like, not just a hobby that happens to work as a job. It actually matters. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds, it matters. So treat it seriously. Take it seriously. And still have fun because you're playing music. But it's a huge part. Touring is what we've built Colony House on. Like, that is the foundation, no doubt, no question.
Colony House's history with record labels is really interesting, and even has them signing to a pretty big label in RCA. So what is that journey like, going from independent to mid-major to a huge record label?
It's funny because we've probably been in every iteration, not every iteration, but a lot of different ways that the industry works. Self-release for several years, our own EP, all that stuff, several EPs. Then we got signed by a small label called Descendant Records that, and we had made when I was younger independently, finished the album, and then started kind of pitching it. Descendant Records signed us before we released that album. We did that whole deal with them and pushed it for about 2 years.
Are they under, like, an umbrella?
Sony. It's a Sony label. But kind of, it's like a one-man show, pretty small. It was just us and another band called Alone Bellow. They're awesome. So Descendant was our label with when I was younger, and then we had made Only the Lonely with Descendant Records. More or less, it was ourselves again in kind of an independent approach. And then after we were finished with that, Descendant took it to RCA because they had wanted to do, there was an A&R there that wanted to work with Jay, our guy at Descendant, for a long time, and it worked. Like, they wanted it. So they signed us. Very exciting. Some of our favorite bands are on RCA. We thought it was going to be cool. Well, we were like, this is going to be awesome. And it was awesome. It was like the total... it was a really exciting time. So we released that, had an awesome experience releasing Only the Lonely, went on a great tour. And then at the end of last year, technically the beginning of this year, Descendant Records went away. They closed their doors. So inside of all that, our two guys at RCA also, that signed the band, had also left. So that all kind of, we're back to indie gotcha. Band, which has been awesome, actually, for the last 3 months, just being able, you know, we were kind of being, once, it was very, it's a very common tale with major labels, like, we're signed by a guy, he left 2 months later before our album came out, then the, like, exec that signed it, that, like, did the deal with us left a few months after that. And so we were kind of ended up being, like, started off awesome and had a lot of support, and then it kind of came, like, Who's the comedy?
You're like walking into the party without your friend.
They're like, I think I met you before, but remind me your name.
That was looks really familiar.
So, and I think just the major label thing continues to change. We don't have a strong preference over how it should work. Like, to us, it's get a team that's excited about it, and trust each other, and that's what we've always done. And so we're excited when, you know, we were bummed that Descendant had to close their doors due to kind of a bunch of circumstances, because our friend, you know, that who we've worked really hard with no longer kind of gets to pursue his dream. But beyond that, you know, like, we feel like we had kind of been put through the ringer with RCA and starting to write new music and just trying to get a team excited about it who never really had the vision for our band specifically in the first place. They kind of were brought in after the fact. And so just trying to, like, manage expectations. Like, okay, how do you see this band? What's your perception of Colony House? How do we fit inside of that perception? And how do we actually need to tell you it's nothing like that? It's actually supposed to be like this, but keep you engaged. And so when it all went away, we kind of dusted it off, stood up and shook our heads like, whoa, what just happened? What were we trying to accomplish in the last few months of that relationship? And now it's been, I think, as clear as ever. As far as writing goes, we've really been, like, trying to get back to those early, when I was younger, days of just, like, remember when we were just trying to do things that made us excited, and that made us feel alive and made us have fun at playing this song. There was no, like, well, maybe that would work in this, you know, on the radio, or maybe that would work for this audience, or maybe that. It's just like, sure, we always thinking those things, but it's much more like, how does this personally move me? How will I be able to sing this song for the next, let's say, 20 years, and 20 years later, sing it with conviction, you know? So that's where we're back there, which is a good spot to be for us.
When Colony House started, streaming was just beginning, and now it's taken over the world. As a newly independent band, it's difficult to navigate exactly what to do.
It's a huge, we're just continuing to try to figure it out. Like, we want to be responsible, we want to be competitive, and not get, I mean, it's so easy to get pissed off about it all and be like, oh, if there was no streaming, then we could actually sell records, and if there was no whatever, and it's like, well, there is, so how are you gonna, how are you gonna go?
I think it's important too, like, if you don't take that mindset, you know, you take the mindset of, like, adapting with the times a little bit, then it's like, there are probably, I don't know, 10 or 20 people a night that come up and they're like, country doesn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that person ever heard a Colony House song if it wasn't for Spotify? Mm-hmm. Then they came to a concert, bought a ticket and a vinyl and a t-shirt, and you're like, Spotify just sorted us out. Yeah, we didn't sell a $10 album, we sold a $20 vinyl, $30 t-shirt, mm-hmm. and a concert ticket. So it's like one of those things where it's like, for a band like us who tours a lot, it ends up coming out in the wash, I think.
Yeah, and continue to fight for, you know, fair, like,
I think that's
fair, you know, legislation. Like, yeah. I've got, you know, songwriter mentors or people I look up to who are on, like, Capitol Hill, like, going back for songwriters, saying, okay, we see how your service can benefit us, but you're not paying writers fairly. So, let's talk about it. You know, so I think there's always always being, you know, protecting our intellectual property, but also being like, let's work together. You exist, we exist, and we can do this and be successful together. So, yeah, and then on the social media landscape, that's a gift, I think, most of the time, as far as, like, the ease of being able to talk to people that care about us is insane. It's a lot to, like, okay, you know, all the different platforms and making sure it's cohesive and balanced out. But it's also a way to, it's fun for us, it's creative, and we're super hands-on. Like, no one's posting for us, really. You know, we've got help occasionally, but for the most part, we very much want it to be us, so people...
One could come up with the stuff that we come up with. They're not stupid.
The band took a long time between putting out their first album and their second album, which gave them time to really work on the songs, crafting what they really wanted their follow-up to be and what they really wanted it to sound like.
I feel like, man, we got a lot of opportunities after the first record. And it was one of those things where it was like, twofold. One, I think it was like a little bit of a slow burn on the first record, and we were getting some amazing tour offers like on that second year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, we can't turn down this tour to just go make another record. We have to do that. Like, Seth, I'm pretty sure that's the Need to Breathe tour. I was like, mm-hmm. You guys want to do 60 shows this summer in an amphitheater so we're making a record? And it was like, well, we need to do that. So that took a huge chunk out of that year of recording time or whatever. Definitely signing to RCA. We made their second record before we signed to RCA, so it was ready to go in March, and we released it the following January. So it was like, you know, it was supposed to be out in September, got pushed back 5 more months once we signed. And so there's a lot of like...
We had it finished for an entire year before it was released. We finished mixing in January of 2016.
Yeah. It was not a total intentional like we're just going to ride it out. It was like, we got a handful of opportunities that made sense to kind of put off recording for a little bit. Then once we did record it, it was kind of out of our hands.
It goes back to our like touring situation. Yeah. Like, we toured and recorded the whole time at the same, like, go to the studio for a week, go on tour for a week, be like always going in and out. We mixed the album, we were in Europe, we were on tour with Walk the Moon, and the album got mixed while we were over there. So like, we were touring and recording all at the same time.
It was like every night after Walk the Moon shows, it would be 2 in the morning, and we would have just gotten to the place we were staying, hostel or hotel or whatever, and we'd pull out our phones and we'd have email mixes, like 5 mixes from the mix guy in America, because it was 5 p.m. and he was sending stuff out at the end of the day. And so then we'd stay up until 5 in the morning.
And just listening over and over again.
And making comments. I think our tour manager almost killed us on that tour because all the band guys are awake being like, dude, I don't know if I like that. Headphones on. I don't know, man. I can't really tell. I like the vocals kind of weird. And then our tour manager was always trying to see.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But and we wanted. I mean, we had a really clear vision for Only the Lonely. Like, we knew what we didn't. It's funny because it took so long, and it's almost like our intention, like, not, it wasn't about getting something out super quick. But we wanted to make the album pretty quick, because the whole mentality of that was like, don't overthink it. Like, go with your gut, make it feel raw, and like, yeah, gut instincts. Like, the part you're playing, you know, we recorded a lot of it together in a room, like, as opposed to like getting super finite about what were you playing, Scott? Like, let's keep thinking about that part for the next 3 hours, you know? Which was more when I was younger. This one was like, get in the room, and if everyone looks around after the take and everyone's shaking their head like, I did good, did you do good, did you like what you did, okay, let's go in the control room and listen. And we, you know, we would get a little bit, you know, finite as we solved those kind of initial equations. But like,
I'm pretty sure we tracked the record in like 4 Monday to Fridays. Mm-hmm. It was like 2, because I was living in Denver at the time, and it was flew in, we did 2 weeks, and then we took a 2 week break, and I flew back in, we did 2 weeks, and that was over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as the like core tracking. So it's funny because it was a really clear vision to do that kind of like spur of the moment. There's something magical, like bringing someone into a rehearsal space and being like, watch this happen. We haven't really played this song before. If we play it and we get pumped, that means something good happened. And we were just trying to record those moments, you know? And there were a lot of those moments. And we learned a lot of lessons from that, like whether or not we'll do that again, probably at some point. But we also missed like being way too picky. We kind of missed that, like, driving each other crazy about overthinking things.
Newly independent, the band has finally started to work on new music, working with new sounds and new themes.
Well, it's crazy. We feel like sheep just wandering about because we're in between so many different relationships right now. Like with the beginning of the year, so much happening that you're like, we can do whatever we want. We could go put out a song. We could put out a song tomorrow on Spotify if we want. Yeah, we can do whatever we want. And so with that freedom is like kind of this spooky, just like, whoa, we have a lot of power right now. But it's awesome too. So what we're just starting to do is record our favorite songs. We don't know, you know, because people, now it's like, we'll put out an EP first, put up on Spotify, see if there's anything hot on that. We're an album band. Like, we love making albums. As a writer, I feel like it's hard for me to write, you know, one song and put it out and it live by itself. Like, it feels like it's a chapter book. This isn't a short story, you know? And so the idea of making an EP that's standalone from something else is harder for me. I feel like we've done the EPs and I want to make albums, but everything's changing. So we're trying to figure out exactly how we want to release music next. So as opposed to thinking about all of that, it's like, well, to release music in any capacity, we need to record it. And so we're putting the no-brainers down now that are like, that one just got to be recorded. It's too much of a song. It's too much of a favorite of ours now at this point to not record it. We'll see where it exists. So we're trying to figure out the next step. We really want to release our next album in 2019, but we really want to release music before that, you know, and so we'll see.
This is Park from Colony House. I didn't say a thing during the interview, but I'm going to kick it to my favorite track from Only the Lonely, I Want It All.
She's steady with nothing to prove. The wind blows, the house doesn't move. Is bringing me low. I'm tired of being alone, but my love is true. I know it's something that I need to tell you. You've got my back, but I don't want to fail you. I want it all, I want it all. Long distance. Don't play with fire, you know how that goes. I want it all, and there's a show.